This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 83 of a 260-part series dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years, the WHKP Golden Anniversary Years. Patterned after the Frank L. Fitzsimmons series on early history, we call it simply Where Fitz Left Off. And today, the betting parlor on Main Street. Yesterday, I tried to explain how vice appeared in innocence with teddy bears. By the war years, gambling had reached an all-time high in Hendersonville. Someone, I never knew for sure who, but someone rented the basement beneath the Pickwick Cafe, which is where Max Menswear is today. You had access from the outside, and you could walk downstairs, and inside was a small auditorium. There was a stage at one end. Behind the stage was a huge blackboard, and in the center of the stage was a baseball ticker. That was a machine you could lease from Western Union, which would give you scores of every major league game every half inning. As the scores came in, they were posted on the big blackboard. The two teams listed on a ticket which scored the most runs established the winner, even if they played each other. If you had one team that was obviously going to be a winner, and there were two other teams with the same number of runs with a couple of innings yet to play, and it could be that there would be a split, and instead of winning $25, each ticket holder would win $12.50. However, if one of those two teams did score just one more run, that team then paired with the top-scoring team and would be the winner, and the other team that had been likely to win was now out. So it became popular to do what was called pooling your ticket. If you could find the holder of the other potential winning ticket, you would agree to split, regardless of the outcome. You couldn't lose. Pooling was highly popular, and you would occasionally have runners who would go from place to place trying to find who had the ticket that could be pooled. And if the runner found the guy, he'd get, on a $25 ticket, a buck, which was good money back in those years. On Saturdays especially, when all the Bubbas would come to town, by mid-afternoon it began to get a bit rowdy, considering you had at least one beer parlor in every block on Main Street. On one Saturday afternoon, as I was walking down Main Street and approaching the Pastime Cafe, whammo! Suddenly a body came hurtling through the window. We had a policeman back then who was called Big Joe. Big Joe Hammock, and he was big. When the glass shattered, and we'll say they hurt Lee, the man who was thrown through the window, found his only wound, other than a few small scratches from the glass, was his hurt pride. So he brushed himself off and headed back toward the opening at the Pastime. But he hadn't seen Big Joe, who had been directing traffic on the corner of 5th and Main. Big Joe ambled over, snagged the hurt Lee by the collar, drug him inside, and in a flash came back out, and in the other hand was the hurt Lur, and he walked them both down to the city jail a block away. It was like living in the Old West. I don't know if the movement was started by an individual or whether it was a spontaneous reaction in the community, but the county commissioners were petitioned to call an election to consider outlawing sales of beer and wine in all of Henderson County. That election was held August 5, 1955, and the Dries won in a smashing turnout. Beer was voted out by a vote of 5,976 to 1,499. That's the vote of all precincts except Raven Rock, which always took an extra day to be heard from. In the Green River precinct, the vote was 15 to 1 against the sale of beer, and the vote on wine was very similar. Dealers then had 60 days to liquidate their stocks, so after October 5, 1955, if anybody wanted a beer, you had to drive to the Buncombe County line, where overnight, an entire community of beer halls and convenience stores opened to serve Henderson County. Henderson County would continue totally dry for the next 5 years. There is no official count available for which would show the increase in traffic from Hendersonville to the Buncombe County line during that dry period. But that little beer community, when beer and wine was voted back in the 60s, it just dried up. Now, no one wanted to bring the beer joints back to Main Street, but tourist promoters felt being a totally dry county hurt the tourist business. So they called for a special election to seek approval of an ABC store. And the election was to be held just in Hendersonville. The group had no organization, and the liquor store was voted down on February 21, 1956, by a vote of 854 against and 584 for. The Wets licked their wounds and gave up the ghost for 4 more years. But in late 1959, a movement began to seek another vote in the city only on whether or not beer and wine could be sold in grocery stores only. This would guarantee that, though beer was available again, no beer joints could be opened anywhere in the city. That election, March 2, 1960, climaxed one of the greatest emotional fights this town has ever seen. More memories of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, with a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.